morning, everyone. Welcome into the latest edition of the Packers Podcast, brought to you by JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com, and our friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino, where Wednesday night wins this fall. Play with your club cards, and you get your chance to win a share of $250,000 in total prizes. Please visit paysbig.com/fallwins. And Tom Silverstein, Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lambeau, live from Lambeau Field, or live-ish. Are we still alive after a 23-22 walk-off Packers victory over the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I wonder who had that score.
Yeah.
23-22.
I don't know.
You're pretty smart if you did.
Well, I had 23. Does that count for anything?
No. 22 is the big one.
Yeah. Somebody did, I'm sure. But anyway, Packers 5-1 now, Tom. 3-0 in the NFC North. Keep pace with some other five-win teams in the NFC. So what's we'll just start with an immediate takeaway here with Aaron Rodgers marching the team down the field 10 points in the fourth quarter to win the game.
Yeah, it was a nice comeback. They haven't been very good in the second half coming back in some of these games. Usually they get in front and then they have to rally to and have to sort of hold off a rally from the other opposing team, and this time they had to rally themselves. They were down 22-13 with 12-17 to go in the fourth quarter, and it was an interesting really nice performance in the clutch by Rodgers on a number of plays, but there was nothing like signature about it. I think he made a couple of really nice plays, really nice throws, deep balls, one to Valdez-Scantling, and then the throw to Allen Lazard for touchdown was just a beautiful throw. I mean, just I compared it to a hole-in-one in my column because it was just like a lob shot that goes right into the hole, and that's exactly what it was. It was not a thing of beauty. This was an ugly, ugly game. You know, two teams, two NFC North teams just grinding it out.
Yeah, I mean, it harkens back to week one in Chicago to a degree. And I think, Tom, I mean, at least it was ugly for Detroit because of the Packers' defense. What I mean by that is 66-yard play to open the game on a flea flicker, a 58-yard play to open their second series, and yet, so there's about 130 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit only had 160 the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Packers turned it over three times. I think I had Detroit running almost two dozen plays on the Packers side of the field, and yet Matt Prater had to trot out five times. So I think the Packers defense did a good job of muddying it up to a degree and keeping this Packers offense in it.
They did because they had some bad field position too. I mean, it's so hard to wrap this game in a nutshell because there were so many things that went wrong, from Darius Shepard's fumble punt return to Aaron Jones's fumble, Darius Shepard's drop turns into an interception. Just Jimmy Graham's drop touchdown in the corner of the end zone. There were just so many things that were ugly about it, but then there were just enough things to get a win. You know, 46-yard pass to Valdez-Scantling. Two 25-yard passes to Mercedes Lewis, of all people.
Yeah.
I think what we should, you know, the one for sure takeaway out of this is that the Packers are really hurting for offensive playmakers. They just don't have big-time playmakers, you know. And then they lost Geronimo Allison to a concussion. Valdez-Scantling was out for a little while. They're hurting. that standpoint.
Yeah, I and we've been talking about that pretty much since the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jamal Williams shows up today, where it runs for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
7 yards a carry. You know, he catches 4 passes for 32 yards and a touchdown. You know, so Aaron Jones, also effective, didn't touch the ball as much, didn't have the sort of the breakaway explosive plays, dropped a touchdown. I mean, he
was God, wide open. I forgot about that one,
yeah,
too.
That would have been, you know, a 33-yard score.
Mm-hmm.
But again, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 different Packers caught receivers, caught passes from Rodgers, just like last week. 100-yard rusher, just like last week.
Yeah.
And again, Tom, and that's kind of what I had said after the Dallas game coming into this, is take that Detroit plan,
mm-hmm.
or Dallas plan, and drop it in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And did it look the same? No. But one could argue if Aaron Jones doesn't fumble and if Darius Shepard catches the ball off his face or doesn't, and they don't turn it over,
mm-hmm.
they score 30 points, and it's almost the same. I understand what you're saying about the lack of a playmaker, but I don't know, Tom. I mean, they it's 2 weeks in a row of getting by and offense working. It just happens this week they turn it over instead of scoring points like they did in Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. They were lucky to walk out of here with a victory. You know, lucky because there were two questionable hands to the face penalties to Trey Flowers. Yeah, we can get into that. But, I mean, there wasn't a ton of continuity. If you look at it, Williams and Jones accounted for, I think, 198 of the yards of 447 yards. And you just had a bunch of guys catching, you know, fair amount. Looking at it, Allison 3 for 40, Mercedes Lewis 2 for 50, Valdez Scantling 2 for 48, Lazard 4 for 65. Nice. I guess they have a pretty balanced attack. They just don't have.
It's like, not sexy.
Yeah, they don't have like a go-to guy. There is no, with Devontae, as long as Devontae Adams is out, they are not, they just don't have for sure offense. And they're going to score 23 points a game, and that's kind of how it's going to be, 23 to, you know, 27 points a game, and then just hope that their defense holds up.
So, well, I'll play devil's advocate to a degree. I mean, I would just say, you know, can you name a 49ers receiver? Can you name a, you know, a Seahawks receiver? That, you know what I mean? Like, and yeah. There's talent there. I'm not diminishing those guys, but I guess I think that's sort of the, as we've talked about this, Tom, is sort of the point of this offense. I think Matt LaFleur would sit here and tell you, again, if the running backs catch 8 balls and the tight ends catch 6 balls and the other receivers catch 6 balls, that's what it's supposed to be.
Not a bad thing, yeah. I mean,
I
hear what you're saying.
It looks different.
I hear what you're saying. I guess I always think about, you know, as you get on into the season, and particularly when you get to the playoffs, you've got to have guys who rise above it all and can have huge games. You know, I agree with you on San Francisco. You know, they've got some solid guys, but they don't, you know, they have a really good tight end and a decent back. But, yeah, you know, the Rams had Todd Gurley, to me, which was the center of their offense, and now he's not.
Right.
And look at him. You just, I think when you get into these big games, you have to have somebody. And I'm not going to say this was a big game. I mean, this was a game, a division game against, you know, a team that, like all the other teams in the NFC North, we don't really know a ton about who they're going to be in December. We do know that the Packers are in front, and I guess that's all that matters right now.
Yeah, 3-0. they won't see another divisional game until December. Mm-hmm. Two on the road. And, you know, maybe these other teams, they beat each other up enough, you know, between the other three combatants in the North. And who knows what the Packers are looking like at that point. Just before we get into some of the officiating stuff, because you dove into that over at jsonline.com, packersnews.com. I did want to check in on the defense here, Tom, because, again, 22 points. Darryl Bevell came out and hit him in the mouth with a couple big plays. But they stiffened up, and no turnovers. They did get a couple of sacks from the Smiths, who continue to do what they do. But I thought this was one of their more well-rounded defensive efforts. You saw Fackrell with a half sack, almost had another one. They end up scoring the touchdown, Kerryon Johnson. I thought Fackrell will stop a T.J. Hockenson on that tight end screen around the goal line was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Tyler Lancaster, Dean Lowry, you saw make some big short yardage run stops. Issues in the secondary early, but then there were only two 20-yard receptions after that, and they were both catch and runs. One was a Galladay crossing pattern in the wash, two other receivers sort of, and then one was a running back catch and run. It felt like they buckled down, and they hadn't done that yet. It's either been playing with three score leads or in Philadelphia, who just kind of took it to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought this was probably one of their better efforts start to finish, all things considered.
Yeah, it was. I think they bounced back, and they had lousy field position for the early part of the game, and then I think their best stat was that they held Detroit to 3 of 13 on third downs, and I think they started to get a little bit of pressure. They figured out they needed to get a little bit more pressure on Matthew Stafford, and they did. And it was a different game in the second half. You know, Detroit was not, other than, so let's see, Detroit got its second half points off of, one was off the Shepherd.
One
was off the Shepherd fumble.
And then there was off a punt that they were able to drive a little bit, but eventually the drive stalled out. So they got the ball at their own 33, moved it to midfield, got to the Packers 38, and then after that, you know, they tightened up and forced another 51-yard field goal.
And, I mean, my goodness, Prater hit from 51 and 54 yards. So that isn't exactly like you haven't stopped them.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty good defense. So, yeah, all in all, I thought the defense did really rebound well. I don't think there was anything they did consistently great, but I think they repeatedly were able to get out of bad situations.
Yeah. Hey, if you don't turn the ball over, which is, you know, the last time they didn't do that, it was Philadelphia, and they lost.
Yeah.
and you know, I guess to me, Kevin King, they kind of went at him early, but at the end of the day, they went at him in the end zone, and they didn't score.
Yeah, he looked like he was hurt. He looked like he was playing hurt.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised they stuck with him. Like, I thought maybe they would go with Tremont Williams outside and Shannon Sullivan, just say, you're not running right, because he didn't look like he was running right.
That groin and bruised knee kind of looked like it was affecting him too.
But they obviously felt that he was good enough, and they thought he was better than having Shannon Sullivan in the slot, Tremont Williams outside. And, you know, in the second half, they didn't do much. Detroit didn't really exploit that matchup all that much.
Especially with Jaire Alexander sort of taking Marvin Jones out of the game. I think one of the Jones catches actually was on either zone or Kevin King made the tackle. So, you know, the Packers, as we've talked about many times after a game, Mike Pettine says, beat our guys, beat our coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Tremont Williams and Alexander with some key pass breakups. Real quick, before we get to the officials, you know, we wondered how Daryl Bevel might use T.J. Hockenson, Jesse James. James was a non-factor. He caught a sort of a outlet ball early. Hockenson, they tried to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Adrian Amos following him around a little more than, say, an Oren Burks.
Yeah.
So, which probably a smart move. I mean, Adrian knows coverage and can tackle, so it didn't feel like it felt like that was the response to a potential game changing tight end.
Yeah, and I think they used. I'm really eager to see the tape because I sort of feel like Amos was all over the place. Like he was back, he was up, he was covering backs, he was, you know, covering tight ends, he was blitzing. I think they got their money's worth out of him in this game. It wasn't a tremendous game by him, but I think he probably did a lot of stuff well.
Yeah.
You know? The only one really bad thing I can think of is he missed on a screen. He had a chance to stop that screen and made a diving tackle and missed. But other than that, you know, their pass rush was okay. But when they needed a sack really badly, they got it, you know.
As the usual suspects. Yeah, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith yet again, Tom.
Yeah.
Six games in, it's just it's been clockwork to this point. It's like 13 and a half total sacks now with those two.
Yeah, and Patton, I can't remember what the situation was, but it was a third down, and Patton brought a seven-man blitz, and it was just the most perfectly timed blitz. It was in a pretty key situation. I can't remember if that was in the fourth quarter or if it was in the third quarter, but it was fairly late, and Patton dialed one up, and it was a really good call. So they had a lot of things going for them.
Well, speaking of, I wanted to hit all the game stuff first before, because I didn't want this to devolve into Clay Matthews Gate 2.0 from last year, where it's all officials. But to that point, Tom, I mean, unfortunately for this league, this is a part of the post game, and many times are calls made or not made, overturned, not overturned. And on Monday night, there were some important penalties called on Detroit, especially at the end of the game.
Yeah, so two hands to the face penalties against Trey Flowers, their star defensive edge rusher. And I looked at both of them, and so as I talked to a number of the offensive linemen and defensive linemen in there, and you know what the NFL has come down to, in my opinion, is it's or sort of what they were saying is it's fate. Did they happen to see that one on that particular play? Were they watching you on your hand getting up on that particular play, or you holding? You know, they're like, we just play and penalty is going to come or it's not going to come. You know, there's holding on every play. There's hands to the face on every play. There's all kinds of stuff going on every play. And sometimes you get called for it and sometimes you don't. Bakhtiari worked the officials pretty well, I think, in making them watch Trey Flowers and where his hands would go. But sort of my point, And it's funny because on the blog, a lot of people tended to agree that they were not plays where they were flagrant fouls, where you would go, okay, in the fourth quarter with this game's being decided, is that a penalty worth calling? You know, is that really the strictest definition of, you know, what a hands to the face is? And I sort of felt like it wasn't, and I was surprised, you know, Trey Flowers did not get the star treatment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if it were Aaron Rodgers and it were a semi-late hit, he's get the flags coming out. Trey Flowers did not get that star treatment, and the first penalty negated his sack, which would have caused the Packers to punt, and instead they got a first down, and what was it, two plays later, Rodgers hit Lazard for the touchdown. The other one gave him a first down after Rodgers threw the ball away. So what would have happened is they would have had to kick a field goal to go ahead, but they would have left a minute and 36
big
for Detroit to have a chance to win it. And so that's a big deal. I commend Detroit for not complaining about it after the game. They didn't make a big deal out of it, but, you know, I sort of complained for them in my column, and just that the officiating's so inconsistent, and I'm sick of watching games where the officiating determines who wins and loses.
And that is not what it's supposed to be. And as you and I walked from the press box down to our office to do this, I still can't wrap my head around a multi-billion-dollar business that doesn't employ full-time officials. I think there's too much on these guys' plates with the constant rule changes, the constant emphasis, Tom Brady tweets about holdings, so that now holdings aren't called anymore because there's a conference call. And it is. It's unfortunate that it comes to that. Whether it be a strike zone in baseball or officials in the NBA and the way they're going to call, you know, contact in the paint, they set the tone early, and then that's what it is, and nothing changes, or it's not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you're right, Tom. In the NFL, there's, aside from now when, you know, the official doesn't call pass interference, they're not going to overturn it.
Right.
I don't know what's what, you know. You mentioned you didn't feel it was egregious. I think on the one hands to the face, Rodgers had moved to his left, which brought him and brought Bakhtiari Flowers almost right in line with the official watching the quarterback.
Mm.
And so there's Bakhtiari's head being thrown back as Rodgers. So almost to the point. What if Rodgers had rolled out to his right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's not called because the official's looking at the quarterback moving the other direction. So, I don't know. I mean, I know Lions fans are upset. I know even some Packers fans are kind of like, well.
Well, Lions fans are probably really ticked. If you remember back to the Hail Mary game, there was that, I believe it was it roughing? Was that illegal hands to the face too?
Right there was
before
something, yeah.
There was a penalty right before Rodgers threw the that gave him another play before he threw the Hail Mary. So, yeah, they're probably kind of ticked tonight.
Yeah.
Regardless, they're 5-1. I did want to touch on this receiver situation. Excuse me. I'm at the end of a cold and still have a little bit of those little cough. We waited a long time to see Alan Lazard, and they seem to favor Darius Shepherd over him. And Darius Shepherd had been neutral up to this point, and now he's negative. And I wonder about whether he's going to be on the roster this week.
Wow.
I don't see anything that he offers. What does he offer? I mean, he dropped a punt, fumbled a punt. He had 5 kickoff returns, and he had 17.4 average. He doesn't break tackles. He doesn't get into the open field. Dropped a, play at the goal line that ended up being an interception. I don't know. What are they getting out of him?
Yeah. I thought, I mentioned this in the Insider, I thought the Detroit special teams coordinator really put together a good game plan once the Packers cut Tremont Smith. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting my Tremonts mixed up here very early in the morning to activate Evan Bayless. I mean, you get rid of an established kick returner who's done some things in the league, who's fairly respectable, and then look, up to this point, the Packers really haven't had any kicks to return. So now you got Darius Shepard back there, and they challenged him.
Mm-hmm.
With now, one went out of bounds, gave the Packers field position. One, Jamal Williams returned. But they clearly wanted the rookie to make some decisions to return the ball and to test that kick block or kick, you know, return unit.
Yeah.
And it paid off, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You're right. It sort of exposed some things there. So I don't know if the Evan Bayless activation was a net positive when you flip it that way. You know, maybe it's all touchbacks. Maybe Trey Smith takes some of those and can break one of those returns. I don't know.
Maybe they bring Trey Smith back this week and they cut Shepard. I don't know. But Lazard's certainly going to get some more snaps after what he did.
Yeah, and I think it says something to him to a degree. You know, he dropped a contested catch. I'll mm-hmm. give him that. And then Rodgers went right back to him on the next one. You know, so, hey, as you said, Tom, it's a big play, which they've been lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also speaks to, you know, people were going nuts about the drops. That's to what you said, though, Tom, right? It's not Aaron Rodgers' job to trust these guys. It's his job to get them the ball, and if they drop it, they drop it, and that's on them.
Right.
And obviously, Alan Lazard rebounded and made the big play. I thought Allison had a rough day,
again, very rough
in a lot
day.
Of ways. I think Valdez-Scantling, you know, scary, got rolled up, but he made a good play. So, you know,
Valdez-Scantling seems like he's a two-catch guy. He's going to catch 2-3 passes, and you're going to. If you're the Packers, you're hoping one of them is for 46 yards.
Yeah.
Allison, I don't know what's going on other than, you know, he's not a great fit for this offense, but I still thought he would be more productive. 7 targets, 3 catches, 40 yards. You know, Jake Kumerow's been a disappointment. 2 catches, 17 yards. They have no choice, really. You know, you're saying these guys have to gain his trust or, you know, talking about that. There's no one left to gain his trust.
Right.
It's like, okay, Alan Lazard drops the ball. Well, who are you going to go to then?
Yeah.
You know, who's your next guy up? And I don't know. Maybe we see Malik Taylor from the practice
Keon
squad.
Hatcher, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if there's any other receivers on that.
Keon Hatcher, who they just brought back.
Oh, yeah, Deion Hatcher, yeah. He's a big receiver.
Yeah. But I guess that's the thing, though. It's you know, they've all – I mean, even Jimmy Graham dropped the ball. I mean, you know, Kumerow dropped the ball a few weeks ago. I mean, you know, that. Unfortunately, that's kind of where they're at. They made this bed with the receiver group coming out of camp time.
Yeah.
Right? Brian Gutekunst addressed this a year ago by drafting 3 receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Now – one's hurt, so who knows what Equanimeous St. Brown is, and they cut Jamon Moore, so they made that decision. And Valdez-Scantling, I mean, so you could say that he devoted some assets to it, and then that hasn't panned out to date.
Yeah.
And so, but they obviously felt okay with it. So I don't know, I mean, they're winning with this, Tom. So I guess my question, maybe the question our listeners are wondering, does Goody look back and say, look, we're winning, and in week 14 or the divisional round, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Geronimo, they're going to be better that day because of what they're going through now. I guess that's the decision he's got to make, right?
Yeah, and I think he's crazy if he says yes, because let's face it, I mean, we're talking about late round picks and undrafted free agents. And yes, nice game, Alan Lazard, and I don't want to take that away from him, but he's still an undrafted free agent for a reason, and so is Geronimo Allison, and so is Jake Kumerow. He's gonna have to make a decision. So is he gonna just grab a mid-level guy who is being offered up, you know, for a 6th round pick and maybe can help them, you know, a veteran guy who can help them? Or is he going to say at some point, we got a chance to win the Super Bowl. Will one guy help us win the Super Bowl, and am I willing to give up a third-round pick? I don't know who that is.
Right.
I'm not sure that there's anybody for sure, but let's just say the Rams spiraled out, you know, and they stink, and they decide they want to get rid of Brandon Cooks, or
right.
I don't think they would get rid of Robert Woods. You know, I'm trying to think of some other teams that are, you know, have a chance to just fall apart. If that happens, then he has to make that decision. Who is he going to make that move and go for it? Or is he going to just roll with who he has and probably, you know, losing the second round of the playoffs yeah. or whatever, you know? You have to decide, are you willing to give up something really significant? Because you probably will have to if you want to get a really good player.
And that's what's interesting to me, Tom, because, A, that decision's got to be made starting tomorrow. Trade deadline's in a couple weeks. And so you're talking about bringing in a guy and a new playbook and a new offense and all this stuff. We've talked about the quarterback and, you know, how he's got to feel about the guy and how that guy practices. And also, you know, someone, not to knock, you know, an Allen Hurns, but at the end of the day, is Allen Hurns helping you win playoff games right. over Geronimo Allison? I have a hard time saying that, right. to be honest. Just because he's a guy someone knows, right?
Yeah.
And he's not here. So, and we'll get into this, I you know, during the week, some interesting things. I generally speaking, Tom, I'm not a big, like, receivers help you win Super Bowls guy, you know? Tom Brady, Gronk's going to the Hall of Fame. All them other dudes are just dudes. Mm-hmm. No one remembers their name outside of the East Coast. So, all the top receivers in this league, how many rings do they have? Not very many. So, I wonder if there's a medium in there where you can find a guy who can help. But I don't think giving up, for the fans who are listening, I personally haven't seen any evidence that shows, let's trade a one or a two or a three, a two and a three for player A.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're not going to do, you know, at most, I think you're going to, at the very most, I think you would trade, at a trading deadline, trade would be a third round pick. But let's just say that Odell Beckham Jr., they decide the Browns
sure.
take a dump and you know, there's already talk that he's not happy. And they decide, well, you know, for 1 year, he could take us to a Super Bowl, you know, and then next year we decide whether we want to take the contract or we let him go. Do you do something like that? I mean, that's the kind of big splash move you have to think about. It was brought up in the blog that, you know, Ron Wolf picked up Andre Rison in the middle of the year, and they, you know, went and won a Super Bowl, and he saved them because they had a ton of injuries at receiver. But he was cut. You know, yeah. the Jacksonville Jaguars had enough of him, and so they picked him up on waivers. That was no big deal. It's different if you have to give up a pick, and definitely. It's a fairly significant one.
So. Definitely. So, yeah, that's obviously something we'll watch and you know, keep an eye on. So, of course, the best way for y'all to do that is obviously listen to the podcast, but subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Download the app. Turn on all the notifications, because if some major stuff happens, you want us to be able to hit you in your pocket, and you can see it right away. Of course, thank you for listening to this podcast. And thank you again to Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Because if you play with your club card, you can win a share of $250,000 in total prizes during their Wednesday Night Wins promotion. Learn more at paysbig.com/fallwins. So, Tom, another one in the books.
Yep.
Oakland coming up soon. So we will speak to you soon. Thank you again for joining us. For Tom, I am Jim. Talk to you next time. We'll